Jamie?
Yes, Marion.
I'm a bit sad to tell you that this is the end of the Lovecraft Show, as in there won't be any more seasons and there won't be any more episodes.
That's bad news, particularly as I'm still in the Lovecraft Show. What am I going to do now?
Well, don't worry, because we've got a new show for all our crafty loving listeners. It's going to be called Craft Talking. Guess who's going to be doing it?
Who's going to be doing it?
You!
Hey! Oh, I can live on to be another day. I tell you what, it's very weird just being a disembodied voice that exists in a podcast. There are so many trapped in other podcasts that have pod faded over time. But I can live on in another area. I'm so excited now. Craft Talking, you say?
Craft Talking. So it's going to be a fantastic new podcast with me and you. And we're going to talk to everybody and anybody. So people, listeners, don't forget to subscribe and find Craft Talking wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Craft Talking without a G, because we're so cool. See you there.
Bye.
I just wanted to mention, last week I went to my first ever Exaggerators Anonymous meeting. We get together about a million times a year. Hey, everybody. It's the Lovecraft Show. My name's Mr. X-Stitch.
And I'm Marion.
And well, have we got a guest for you today? Have we?
Have we? Marion? Oh my God. Get everybody, get your drink, sit down, buckle up. We have the incredible Tom Daly.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Tom. Oh, Tom, do you know what? This has been such an incredible year for you.
Before before we dive into this, actually, that was a pun. No, yeah, before pun, we do, pun. I just want to say that although there's many factors that can lead to this, I do know that the last time, before you came on the Lovecraft Show, the last time you weren't a gold medal winning Olympic athlete. True. And then you came on the Lovecraft Show and now you are a gold medal winning.
It's all down to this. It's the counselling from this show that has enabled me to become an Olympic champion, honestly. That's it.
I mean, I didn't want to say as much, but the evidence was clear.
Oh, so I love it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, thank
Tom,
you.
You know, obviously everyone in the world was proud. We were proud. All the knitters in the world and all the crocheters and all the crafters were proud. I don't know whether...
I don't even know where to begin. Where do we begin, Tom? Your year has been the stuff of dreams.
Yeah, it's kind of been insane. I started off the year without necessarily the start of dreams. Started off with concussion at the beginning of the year. Then I got COVID and then I had to have a knee surgery. And then going into the Olympic Games, it was kind of one of those things against all odds. And it was one of those moments of feeling like I wanted to obviously do the best that I could and become an Olympic champion. But it's obviously a lot easier said than done to just be like going after all of those things that have happened that year. But honestly, I do think I have crafting to thank for the way that I was able to compete at the Olympic Games. Like during COVID, being able to, you know, at the Olympics, we couldn't do anything. We couldn't go outside. We couldn't go and interact with anyone else. So we had to find something to be able to distract ourselves from it. And honestly, that was where my Olympic knitting project came about. Because I actually spoke to Marion before about what yarn to get, and it was the Simply Chunky, the paint box stuff, and that's what I made my Olympic cardigan with, and what I made my little pouch with, and yeah, for me it was like my way of switching off, and yeah, so it's been a very, very, very surreal year, honestly.
Do you know what was so incredible was that people were so focused on what you were knitting. It was on I was saying this to Jamie earlier, it was on every newspaper headlines. What is he knitting? What is he making? What's Tom knitting? And they were almost just as excited about you winning a gold medal as to what you were knitting.
Honestly, now when I'm walking around in the streets, especially internationally now, it's like, oh, you're the knitter. And I'm like, well, yes, I am a knitter, but I'm also the diver. But, it's one of those things that it was, I just was doing it literally everywhere. Like I do it on the train. I do it on the plane. I do it on the bus on the way to the pool. I was doing it on poolside. I was doing it in the balcony when we were watching, because it was my way of like not thinking about too much and also getting away from screen time and lots of different things like that. It was my way of being able to just completely zone out and just forget that I was at the Olympics. And I think that's where a lot of people at the Olympics really struggled with mental health and how they were going to deal with not having competed for so long and not having been around other people and then all of a sudden being in this high pressure environment. And then there was me just being able to like zone out. And I think that was something that I was like I said before, just extremely like grateful that I picked it up.
It's absolutely brilliant, because we always talk about how good craft is for mental health because of that thing where you can just totally focus in on what you're making. And the joy of that and the excitement of finishing something, or, I mean, and what you were doing, they weren't straightforward things. So, I mean, you were doing colour work, you were doing fantastic duplicate stitch, you know, Swiss darning. And there was, I was on Facebook, I think, at some point, and someone was saying, that can't be Tom Daly. He's not really knitting that because it's like really complicated. I went in and I was just like, you have no idea. He only has to look at something and then he can do it. I was just like, I remember the last time we spoke, we were talking about socks, and then a week later you knitted a sock.
Yeah.
So to all the people who weren't sure, you know, you can do any technique.
I love learning. I think that's something about me. And especially as an athlete, like when you throw yourself into something, you just want to do it to the best of your ability. Like that was why in March when I first started and I was terrible at it, I don't like not being very good at things. So for me, it was then my challenge throughout lockdown was to be able to learn to knit and learn to crochet and learn every, I also, rather than just like staying within my comfort zone as well, like every project I did, I would learn a new technique, and that extra technique would then allow me to have a new skill to then move forward to the next project and then be able to incorporate all of these different things, and starting off with easy color work and going wrong and being like, you know what? Oh no, I've realized that I've done this intarsia and like pulled things too tight, thinking it needed to be tight. And then all of a sudden when you put it on, it was like a funny shape. And, you know, just learning from those things all the time so that the next time you do it, you get a little bit better and better. And then I started to design some things and come up with some ideas of things that I'd like to make, and kind of stepped out of the pattern box, which was quite terrifying for me, because at the beginning I didn't even follow patterns previously. All I did was follow videos online. I never looked at a pattern. So then the first time I looked at a pattern, that was overwhelming in itself. And then going from looking at a pattern to then trying to start create your own things and working on tension gauges and then your measurements and how to decrease to get the right shapes. And yeah, it's just been this real creative process for me where instead of worrying when things go wrong, it was like at the Olympics, for example, when I did my first Olympic rings color work, I did the Olympic rings, but I worked the chart backwards. So when I'd made the chart on my laptop, I then reversed the colors. So then it was all a big disaster. And I thought, oh no, I have to know I'm white, like unpick everything and frog like loads of the project. But instead of being like, oh, I can't believe that, it was like, you know what, I'm doing this because it's my way of distracting myself. So this is actually another chance for me to do it again, do it better. And also it's more time for me to pass, because it worked out perfectly that I finished my jumper on the day of my competition. Like it was the last thing that I'd finished. So it was the perfect little like 2 week project that I had.
I guess it must be quite rare as well. You're in these situations, like you say, we've got a lot of time to kill, and you've got, you know, your peers will be thinking about their performance. And, you know, I know any of these meditative mindful crafts will take you out of thinking about stuff and keep you in the moment. But then you're layering this learning on top. So actually you're really not thinking about the diving, because that's all presumably what would you do, like training in the morning so that your muscle memory's fresh and then just leave it? Or
so I would tend to, I mean, we'd wake up, we had to do a COVID test, and then we'd go to the dining hall, eat, then get the bus to the pool, and I'd be knitting on the bus to the pool. Then I'd train, and then I'd come back and we'd have lunch. I'd obviously knit on my way back, and then I'd knit in my lunch break, and then it'd be time to get back on the bus after lunch, and I would knit on the way to the pool, and then I would train again for the second time, and then knit on the way home, have dinner. And then when the rest of the boys in the apartment were on video games, I was just sitting in the corner watching, kind of still being social, but just knitting and just being there and being able to just be in my own little world. And it was a way that, I don't know, it made the days go so much faster. And it was also one of the only periods in my life really where I was able to knit as often as I was, because, you know, at home I have Robbie to look after. I have just the general task of getting, like, going to the store, getting all your groceries, getting, you know, the dishes, the laundry and all that kind of stuff. Whereas when you're at the Olympics, you know, you don't have to go cook anything. You just go and pick it up. The laundry, you just drop off. And just so it just made it so I had so much more time to sit and craft, which I love.
Yeah, that's an absolute gift, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, obviously you had a very big job to do where you were there, but that's really lovely all that time. And I mean, the medal cozy, what?
No, I was just going to say, what you're saying is if anybody really wants to devote their life to craft, then just becoming a professional athlete.
Yeah, exactly. And go away. Yeah, exactly.
Seems straightforward enough.
The medal cozy was absolute genius, though. I mean, it really was. I mean, that sort of really captured everybody's hearts, didn't it? Straight away. I mean, let's just talk about your Instagram, because I mean, your Instagram was, I mean, it was sitting splendid. Very nicely at a few thousand or something when you started off. I can't even remember how many. And then it just went crazy with all the crafters in the world.
I started Made With Love by Tom Daly as my little Instagram handle because I didn't want to flood my Instagram with all of my knitting stuff because I thought, oh, people aren't going to be interested in me knitting. Like, so I made a separate one. I think I made it last August and it was slowly climbing followers. And I think just for the Olympics, I had something like 40,000 followers, which I thought was a lot for a knitting page in the first place. And then, you know, after the Olympics, I started posting some things and what I was making and then photographing the stand. And literally within 3 days, it went up to like 1.4 million followers on Instagram, which is just like insane for the amount of, you know, for knitting. Like, I mean, I know there's lots of people in the world that knit, and I love there's a lot of people in the world that craft and crochet and cross stitch and embroider, lots of things like that. But I just never would have imagined that people would have gotten so interested in it, which was amazing because, you know, I think if you are a knitter or if you are someone who likes to crochet or likes to craft, or if you find someone else that has a similar passion to you, all you want to do is talk about it and talk about what they're making and the things they're doing. And it's, although it feels like a niche community, the community is so, it's incredible. Like, everybody's so excited about what everyone's making, so nice, and everybody's so like, they're like sending congratulations and well done for you making this, and oh my gosh, this is amazing, oh, I made this, and you get like that bounce back and forth, loads of ideas and inspiration, which is just, it's just awesome.
It is. And I think as well, it's what's lovely is that if you don't know how to do something, or if you're a bit stuck doing something, somebody that you barely know or that you've only just met or even that you've never met before will just show you how to do it. They'd be like, oh, no, I'll show you. You know, yeah. Just show you how to do something. Or there's an amazing sort of knowledge sharing that goes on between everybody. That I think the thing was that you were in this, you know, such a prominent position. You were on everybody's telly. Everybody knew you, and there you were crafting, and everyone was like, well, if Tom Daly can craft and if he can knit in public, then I can knit in public. And I think people just really embraced that.
Yeah, because I think it's so, like, people get, you know, for me, some people read a book on the tube or when they're out and about. Some people are just, most people are just on their phone scrolling endlessly through social media. But then for me, that, like, sitting and knitting was like my version of reading a book. It was my version of sitting and scrolling on my phone. It was a way for me to be able to just sit and enjoy myself, relax. And, you know, I guess it's not one of the first things that you'd see a 27-year-old male sitting on the train knitting. No, but at the end of the day, like, doing what, like, it's no different than someone finding what they love to do and being able to do it wherever you go. And yeah, I don't know. Like, for me, obviously, it's hard to take big jumper projects with me on the train, but like, I take little things that I make, like little dog jumpers, or if I'm making hats or like whatever it is, or if I'm making a sleeve or something like that, I can take little sections with me, and I've always got a bag with my knitting and my knitting, like, current project ready to go by the door, so that at any moment I can take it wherever with me. So
oh, I love it, it's fantastic. Jamie, you used to take your cross stitch on planes and things, didn't you?
Yeah, planes and trains. I found that the easiest way to get a bit of space on a train was to be a big bald man doing cross stitch, because nobody would sit on a table near you. So that was always quite a good one. And actually, if you wanted to improve your skills doing it on the tube, because the tube is a lot bumpier, like, it really is one of those ones where, you know, like, if you play snooker and then you go and play on a pool table, it's really easy because you've become more refined by playing snooker. If you stitch on a really bumpy thing, then you go and stitch on an unbumpy thing, it just seems a lot easier, really. But it's that engagement thing. The thing, when we spoke last time, you talked about the fact that there were a couple of Chinese coaches, I think it was, who did a bit of knitting, and it was a bit of a rarity. You must have changed the game. Like, people, presumably a lot of your peers were talking to you about this. Not because it's an anomaly, but maybe possibly because you seem to be very content which must have been quite a rare thing.
Yeah, I think lots of people did kind of see me go into these Olympic Games as like the calmest that I've ever been, and being able to have that real calm mindset. And what's funny is that my synchro partner, Matty, I taught him when we went for a training camp in Turkey before the Olympics how to crochet. So he learned how to crochet a granny square, because with knitting, like, he wanted to learn to knit, but like there was something about knitting that he found to be, I can't remember why I didn't teach him to knit. Oh, it was because I only had one pair of needles that I was making for a particular project I was doing, and then I had loads of crochet stuff. So I was like, I'll teach you to crochet this trip, and then we'll do knitting another time. And, you know, he really enjoyed it when he was doing it, and again, was very much like all in when he was doing it, and then kind of lost interest when he went back home and I wasn't there to help him and show him different things. But I think it was interesting for him to see something that he understood, not necessarily that it had to be crochet or it had to be knitting. What he then went on to find was like coloring books. And then he found that to be his thing that he liked to do, was wherever we were on a plane or when we were getting ready for competition, I'd be sitting there knitting and he'd have his little coloring book and little things like that. I think whatever you find that works for you is special in its own way, really.
Oh, definitely. And so when you did your thinking about crochet, so you did your gorgeous crochet jumper for Robbie, that pattern that you did, yeah, which launched, and you were raising money for the Brain Tumors charity with that pattern. I mean, how did that go? Because it was a lovely pattern. It was a really cool pattern, and there's lots of people making it. And that was really popular, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I started off, my first pattern that I designed was a crochet one, and it cut started with some granny squares, and then I kind of turned it into like a belt, and then added a jumper around it. And so, yeah, and then I wanted to release a pattern just because it was actually what I was doing when I had COVID, when I was really ill. That was like what I was doing just to keep myself sane when I was like, was creating that pattern and like crocheting and figuring out what I could do in order to be able to share that with the world and also turn it into some kind of good. And that was when I, you know, everything that came from that goes to the Brain Tumor Charity every month. Like anything that comes in goes out. And then the same with, I have slowly been raffling off some of the things that I've made. Like I did a crowd like fund or something. I don't know what it was. I can't remember the name of the place where I did it, but I raffled off where everyone could buy a raffle ticket and have the equal chance of winning it. And it went to somebody, it was a rainbow jumper. And once I raffled it off, it went to somebody in California. And in total, through Instagram and through that particular funding thing, I managed to raise, I think it was like £35,000 for the Brain Tumor Charity, which has been amazing.
That's fantastic.
That mainly came from raffles and then Instagram donations, because the donation on my Made with Love Instagram was still running over the Olympics because it lasted for a month. So over the Olympics, people were donating just because and also when I posted my Olympic cardigan, I didn't say that I was raffling that one off. I just was like, I've made this and I've got a donation link on my page. I'd love any kind of donation to the Brain Tumor Charity, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, we ended up raising that much money, which was amazing. Because it's an extremely important cause for me. And like, that's where like, I always want to try and, although knitting for me is fun and exciting, like if there's any way that I can also give back, it's been also something that I've really been, tried to be really conscious of as well.
Oh, it's lovely. And I think particularly in the knitting community too, there is a huge passion for knitting for charity as well, or doing any kind of giant project or something that contributes to charity. Because people who knit and craft and sew and are very often the people who really sort of, you know, you're always making something for somebody else. Probably 9 times out of 10, if you say to someone, what are you making? They'll say, oh, I'm making a something for my, and yeah, it'll be sort of a gift or a present, or it's very often, it's more that than for myself, isn't it? The people sort of making things for other people. And I think knitters love anything like that.
Yeah, just being able to make something. Making something yourself is cool, but it's so much nicer when you get to, I don't know, people really appreciate handmade gifts, whether it's just making your own card or making your own, I don't know, like for this year, like I want to make stockings for my friends, and just so that everybody's got like a little something like personalized with their initial on it for on the fireplace. Like little things like that, I think are going to be, like now I'm able to do, and people really appreciate that. And, you know, sometimes you don't know what to get people, and it's like, you know what, I'm going to make them something. And even just last minute gifts for me, can be terrible with last minute gifts. And instead of just getting like a bottle of bubbles or something like that, I'll get a bottle of bubbles, but I'll like crochet them like a whole case that goes like a netted case that goes on it and like a little drawstring, and they're like, wow, you made this. And I was like, yeah, I know. So like, I mean, it doesn't take me that long, but to them, it's like a big thing. So,
but that's the thing, though, is because it is the thought that goes into it and the time that goes into it. And I think people, like the currency of handmade, it used to be like people only wanted shop stuff, you know, and like handmade was a bit, ooh. And now it's completely reversed and everybody loves everything handmade because people are beginning to recognise the joy of it and the time that goes into it and the... what a huge thing it is to give somebody something that you have made with your own hands.
There is a note of caution, though. I know some cross stitchers who have to start in August now because there's an expectation that they'll be giving out cross stitch cards to everybody. So, you know, maybe every now and again have like a fallow year where you don't make people things just so that you can go, all right, and we're back to square one. I'll make you a nice thing.
It is. It's one of those things that everybody, like, you end up getting with such a long list of people, oh, can you make me this? Can you make me this? And then you've got this list of like, how am I ever going to get around to making all of these things? Like, I need to like start learning how to machine it. And then I was like, well, no, that takes away the whole point of why I do it.
Another Olympics. Yeah.
I know, exactly. Yeah. I know. I just want to be able to.
Is like, it Commonwealth Games?
Commonwealth Games for next year. That's true. That'll be another time. But it's one of those, one of those things at the moment. In the winter, it's nice because things go a little bit quicker because you use chunkier yarns and you're able to, you know, and it's much speedier. Whereas if you're having things like, in the spring when you're like using like really small like cotton yarn and things like that, it becomes slightly more time consuming, but it's all fun.
So on the subject of chunky yarn, we have some very exciting news, or you have some very exciting news in terms of chunky yarn as something that's coming out on the 25th of November.
Yes. I have got my baby, if you like, is, well, Made With Love by Tom Daly started off as my Instagram page. And funny, the story all started with, okay, before the Olympics, I went for a big meeting with my management team about what the plan after the Olympics was going to be. And we were talking about podcasts. We were talking about what YouTube things I could do, maybe things in TV. And, you know, everyone was coming up with all these ideas. And I was like, this sounds great. And they were like, Tom, is there anything else you'd like to add? And I said, honestly, I'd just love to be a knitwear designer. And they all laughed. And they were all like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. Like, what are you talking about? Like, all right, Tom, chill out. And then, of course, as soon as I get back from the Olympics, my management were like, so about that knitwear design. And I was like, well.
I'm not surprised.
So then I had already been designing some things that I wanted to make for summer because I was, like, doing sketches and figuring out what I wanted to do. And then along came the idea of Made With Love. Which were going to be kits that people can buy. So the kits will come with the yarn, the needles, the patterns. There'll also be exclusive video tutorials of how to knit and the certain techniques that will come with the kits as well. And then also everything within the box has its own purpose as well. So for example, sometimes the importance of a tension gauge, let's say that for example. So the postcard that comes in the box with the description of the sweater and some of the instructions on it of where to find the video tips and all that kind of stuff, is a 10 by 10 centimeter piece of card. So people can use it. So they can use it as a tension square.
Unbelievable. That is genius.
So everyone has everything within it, like there's no plastic in it, and it's trying to be as people can reuse as many things as possible to create their things. And also, so there are lots of different designs. We've got a Christmas jumper, we've got a cardigan, we've got a vest, we've got some flamingos on the go, there's some toys, we've got stockings, hat, scarf, and blanket as well. And there's something for everyone as well, like in terms of starting from the very, very, very beginning with something like the scarf or the hat or the blanket is kind of one of those things that you're going to be able to learn all kinds of different things, working with colour, working on, you know, just general knit stitches, purl stitch, stockinette stitch, then basket weave, and doing like moss stitch and seed stitch, those kind. So every panel of this blanket, because it's going to be patchwork, you're going to learn something new, which is kind of my journey through knitting. I learned something new with everything that I did. So yeah, there's also duplicate stitch in there with the blanket. So yeah, I'm super excited about it because I started off learning how to knit with kits, and now the fact that I've been able to design some of my own and try and share a little bit of my love for knitting with other people, is super exciting.
Oh, they just sound incredible. And the thing is, everybody loves a kit. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, you having everything. So if you get one of those on Christmas Day, you can just sit there in the afternoon and start because you've got everything you need.
I'm going to get the Olympic gold medal kit, a gold medal cozy.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I was like thinking maybe I should do a medal cozy thing. I was like, well, what? I don't know how many people would want to actually buy a medal cozy kit. But, you know, it's one of those things that for me, it was trying to create something that wasn't too difficult. So they are very much going to be something that's on the beginner to easy scale at the moment. There is one intermediate with a little bit of intarsia with a Christmas tree for a Christmas jumper. But other than that, it's things like very simple stuff with some duplicate stitch over the top, which is great for beginners to get a little bit of color work into their patterns. But then, you know, and then in the future, I'm currently working on other designs for like neck drops and things like that, which are going to be more spring stuff, which can be a little bit more creative and a little bit more difficult in some of them. So yeah, I'm super excited with moving forward and also hoping that the next one will have a bit of crochet in there as well. So,
Yeah. And so tell us about the yarn that's going into the boxes.
So the yarn it's 100% merino wool and it's nice and chunky. I'd say it's more on the super chunky. It's like kind of somewhere between super chunky and chunky, honestly. It's not like as thick can be, but it's normally on anything between 10 and 15 millimeter needles. So the jumpers are made with 10 millimeter needles and 12 millimeter needles. Yeah, it's just so soft and squishy. And it's like, it's the perfect kind of yarn because sometimes you can get yarn that's a little bit itchy. And this is like so soft and squishy. It's like the perfect kind of winter warmer. It's really just like a warm cuddle. In fact, one of the cardigans is called the cuddle cardigan because for that exact reason. It does just, when you put it on, just feels like a complete cuddle. It's that one of the cardigans is a bubble sleeve cardigan. So it's like a nice bubble sleeve cardigan, and it's got some like hidden pockets on the side as well, which was a new thing for me to do because I hadn't actually made pockets that were invisible before. But obviously it all made sense when I was reading about it and how to figure it out because it all kind of goes in and around the seams and stuff like that. But it's been a really fun experience to get going with the patterns, get going with the designs, working with the team to really kind of hone them in so that they were understandable for everyone. Because sometimes I think now that I've knit for so long, I go off on technical things where people might be like, what on earth is going on? So hopefully everyone will be able to follow along. And it's a great way to just start the craft and just pick it up. And, you know, like you say, having something that you've made by yourself is so rewarding. And even just starting with a little hat, being able to say that you made this knit hat. And oftentimes, if you knit someone a hat, like, they'll keep it forever. It's one of those things that it doesn't get thrown away. Like, that's something that is treasured. So yeah, I'm super excited about it, actually. And the stockings in particular are super cute. If you can get them and make them in time to be able to use this year for Christmas, they're super cute.
And the thing that's so great as well is that on bigger needles, for people who are starting out, you don't lose, you know, you don't lose interest because it grows so fast. Every stitch, you know, every time you do a row, it's another sort of inch or so of knitting. And so if you're doing a hat, you can do a hat in an afternoon if you sit totally focus on what you're doing.
Yeah, I think a hat at the moment is between an hour and 2 hours because it's like one ball of yarn, or maybe two balls of yarn actually, because we added a pom-pom on the top of the hat as well. So yeah, it's one of those things that I think once you get into the swing of it and you actually know how to knit, like when you're knitting with super chunky and chunky needles, you're going to be able to knit something up really quickly. And like you say, for a beginner who, if you start off with like super small yarn, you kind of can be a bit like, oh no, what am I doing? Like one of the first jumpers I made was one of the paint box jumpers, the stripe jumper. And I didn't know what I was buying. I didn't know what I was doing. And I think it was on like a DK. And it was like 3.5 millimeters and 4 millimeter needles. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And it took me forever, but I did love it. But then once I discovered chunky and I was like, oh my gosh, instead of making a jumper in 3 weeks, I made it in 2 days. Like it's a big difference.
Oh yes, definitely.
Do you think the process of becoming a designer and therefore a bit of a teacher, has that changed you as a knitter? Like,
yeah, I think I always used to get really upset with myself if I'd made a mistake in my knitting, but then Robbie's deciding to shout. That's Bobby, everyone. but yeah, like for me, like learning how to knit and then realizing that those little mistakes and those imperfections in homemade things and handmade things are what makes them special and what make them realize that you're actually having that something that someone has handcrafted themselves is really special.
Yes, those little design features. That's what we call them. When you make a mistake, it's a design feature. Yes.
Yeah.
Because there's something about like translate, you know, you knit the way you knit, you stitch the way you stitch. But when you've got to start teaching people and you have to kind of unify it or, you know, go for the lowest common denominator and stuff, I feel like it makes you a better craftsperson. You appreciate it more and you sort of see what you take for granted or something.
Yeah, because you start to think about it. Because like when I was doing my tutorials and I was trying to describe how to just knit stitch, like the things that you have to say, like the left needle has your stitches on and then you put your right needle to the left side of the first stitch and then you go from the front to the back, from the left to the right, through the loop, put the yarn round, pull it through and pull it off the knee. And like I realized that when you actually say it out loud, that's a lot to process. So going really slowly and like allowing, like explaining it. But it's funny how like you say, once you know how to knit, you do take it for granted, like how just your body just does it automatically.
It is amazing because I do quite a few of the tutorials for Lovecrafts and I've now sort of got into the mode where I think sometimes when I'm showing someone how to do something, I'm almost talking to them as if I'm sitting next to them and you're showing somebody how the stitches work. And I think as a knitter, that's the vital moment when you tip over into sort of like from a beginner to an intermediate knitter is when you suddenly, or crocheter or stitcher or anything, is where you understand how the stitches sit together, that the pearls have got a bump and the knit stitches have got a V and that it all, and how the patterns work. And we just recently did one, a video with some cabling in it, and it was so interesting to sort of explain how the cables work. And then once you've sort of watched it back, you think, yeah, well, that's how they work. It makes it easier for a beginner to understand, I think. So, Tom, what, I mean, God, the next thing up for you is these fantastic kits. And then, you know, you're going to go from up to, you know, even more and more and more and more exciting kits and designs and all sorts.
Yeah, like the kits are super exciting, working on more designs going into the future. And then, you know, I'd love for one day to be able to be like a, you know, a knitwear designer for people that don't knit as well. Like, obviously, I'd love for people to get involved in this thing because I think it's really important for people to craft and make things themselves. But for the people that don't, like, to be able to be in some kind of, you know, fashion house knitwear designer, I would absolutely love that as well. So I think it would be really cool to have the mix of the two, kind of bring the handmade look to the more mainstream fashion. But we'll see.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be beating a path to your door. I should think they're going to be all absolutely competing to get you, Tom. I really do. And also, of course, your telly career. I saw you on the One Show and I thought you were brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
So
you
know, such a good presenter.
It was my first live show that I've ever done. So I hope to get a few more practice runs in. But yeah, no, I've absolutely loved that. And I think that's, you know, what this next year for me is about. I'm taking a year off of diving and I'm figuring out what I want to do. And then in September next year, I'll be back at the pool and seeing where that takes me. So it's been nice actually to be able to take a bit of time away from mind and body, really, to just do something a bit different, spend more time with family and friends and be a little bit more, in inverted commas, normal than it is to be an Olympic athlete training all the time.
And then you went to the Met Gala. Speaking of normal,
Gala. Yeah,
what was that like?
Really fun.
Yeah, what was that like?
It's so surreal because you go in and you don't know. Normally, you go to an event, you've got a plus one, someone that you can be like, oh my gosh, this is really weird. Like, I'm a bit, I don't know what to say. Like, or you've got someone that you can always talk to. You know what I mean? Whereas the Met Gala, there's no plus ones, there's no nothing. You're the only one invited. So you go in and it's literally just a room full of like faces that you recognize from everywhere. And you just have to, everyone's in the same position. So everyone just starts talking and they do cocktail hour for an hour when you first walk in. And then you have dinner and then there's like a surprise performance. And this year it was Justin Bieber, which is kind of cool. But yeah, you just walk in and just this whole thing, it was just all really very surreal. Very surreal.
Amazing.
Did you talk to anybody that you admire? Did you talk to anybody who you were like, oh, I shouldn't have met that person?
Well, I did see Simone Biles when I was there and also met Emma Raducanu.
She's amazing.
She She's amazing. Oh, she's, yeah.
Do you know what? She went to school with my daughter.
And, really?
Yeah, and her parents are so lovely, just super sweet, really lovely, kind parents. Yeah. And she was always a really, really nice girl. She used to come to my cookery classes.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow, I love that. Yeah. She was so sweet. And it was just like the whole thing was just so surreal. Like, this is the most surreal 5 minutes happened on the way out when I went to the bathroom. And I went to the bathroom and with Troy Sivan, who's a singer. And I don't know if you know who he is. But then he was wearing a dress. So he went to wee in the urinal wearing a dress. And as we walked into the toilet, Rihanna was holding the door open. And then was like to the men's toilet, which was weird in itself. And then she was like, somebody needs to take a photo of that. So then I started taking a photo of Troye Sivan because he was the only one I knew before I went to the Met Gala from previous events. So then Rihanna was directing me how to take this photo of Troye Sivan. And then as we were finishing up taking the photo, Shawn Mendes walks in and it's like, what on earth is going on in here? And it was this really weird, surreal moment. And it was as I left the toilet where I bumped into Emma Raducanu. So yeah, it was like just the most surreal 5 minutes of my life, honestly.
So, it's yeah. Lovely.
I feel and like it'd be sensory overload.
But it was, you know, it was just one of those, like, for example, as soon as I walked in, like being able to, like lots of the things that people were like talking to me about were missing. But the most surreal part was when I walked into cocktail hour, the hosts of the event were Tom Ford, like Timothy Chalamet, like Naomi Osaka, and then of course Anna Wintour. So I walk in and Anna Wintour knew who I was because of my knitting, and she started asking me about my knitting.
Oh my just, like, the most, god,
which again was so surreal. We had talked about knitting, which was kind of crazy.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, I tell you what, I want to thank you from all the knitters and crafters in the world for bringing it right up to the front.
Aww.
So everyone can see how beautiful and blissful it is and what a gorgeous thing it is to do. Because I'm glad people are talking about it, yeah.
First of all, you're a damn nice guy. You're very good at what you do. You know, you've got so many things going on, and then you've applied a bit of knitting to the top of it, and it's just like you've created this secret sauce that's projected.
Knitting was the catalyst, apparently.
But when we saw you at the Met Gala, me and Miriam were both like, "That's the knitting. That's got to be something." Yeah. You know, it's like the
it
final.
Must be. It's the knitting's kind of taken me into the fashion side of it as well, because you know, just as an athlete, athletes don't always really get invited to things like that. And then it's been the most surreal few months since the Olympic Games. It's all kind of, yeah, very surreal.
Very surreal. I mean,
and yet here you are, still being a nice person,
talking to us,
feet on the ground,
of course,
convincing your child to do some Lego.
He's upstairs making a car apparently now, so I'll go down and see how that car's turned out.
Oh, Tom, thank you so much for talking to us. We're no thrilled. I just want to say to everybody, you can get your kits certainly at Love Crafts, but also other retailers too. I know they're going to be available in shops and stores, aren't they too?
Yeah.
And we're going to put all stuff all over the show notes and all over the emails, and everybody's going to find them because they're gorgeous.
Yay.
This is what you need to buy your nearest and dearest for Christmas.
Exactly. Get everyone involved. You know, it's one of those, what I'm hoping with Made With Love is it will bring together the generations a little bit as well, because I know that there's probably, you know, if you see the kits and you think that your grandparents might want to make them, or grandparents might see it for their grandkids or their kids and be like, you know, I want to teach them how to knit because I love knitting. And I just really hope that what I've noticed with knitting over since the Olympics in particular, but also just being part of the knitting community from when I started, it's, and like the crafting community in general is so close knit, pardon the pun, but it is like such a thing where everybody wants to help. Everybody's so excited about what everyone's making, and it's just a really nice, friendly place. And at the same time, it allows you to, you know, improve mental health and give you that chance to unwind, get rid of stress and anxiety. And yeah, and I hope at the end of it, you'll have a nice little thing to wear as well.
I might even try knitting a hat.
Oh, come on, Jamie, yeah. You can do it.
Come on.
Come on.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it.
Yeah, promise. Yeah, you can do it.
I will. No, that's amazing. We're so proud of you,
so proud. Us and the rest of the country, but we are super proud.
And the rest of the world.
And the rest of the world.
Let's face it.
Super proud.
It's been amazing. So we'll look forward to having you back on the Lovecraft Show for the third one, where presumably, I don't know, you'll be the running a nation? Or I'm trying to think what happens the next year. Because when we spoke last time as well, you were like, I really love this knitting. You know, I'm interested to see where it goes. And now you've got your own product range.
Crazy, honestly. And then, yeah, I mean, my next thing is be Minister of Knitting, and I'll get knitting and craft into school as part of the curriculum.
Oh, do you know what? You and we need to talk about that, because I'm all for that. Yeah, definitely.
I think it would be an amazing thing for kids to learn to, like, unwind and to learn to, you know, some schools do teach knitting as after-school clubs, but, like, as part of a little class, I think people really like it, but we'll see.
Well, thanks, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been so good and
inspirational as usual.
Aww. Yeah, man, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
And we'd like to thank everybody for listening. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I was listening to podcasts the other day, and I remember where we said, if you like this show, just subscribe, get over and done with. So I think we'll stick with that. That's a strong message.
just straight to the point.
So that's been the Lovecraft Show. My name's Mr. Xstitch,
and I'm Marion.
And such a feeling's coming over me. There is a wonder in most everything I see. Not cloud in the sky, got the sun in my eyes, and I won't be surprised if it's a dream. Everything I want the world to be is now coming true, especially for me. And the reason is clear. It's because you are here, Tom Daly. You're the nearest thing to heaven that I've seen. I'm on the top of the world, looking down on creation, and the only explanation I can find is the love that I've found ever since you, Tom Daly, have been around. Your Lovecrafts put me at the top of the world.
Oh,
thank you very much.
I love a bit of the Carpenters to finish off the episode.